RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! Today is Friday. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here.
Same
what about
here.
By you?
Same.
Yeah?
Yeah, really nice.
What are we looking at in terms of the weather?
Well, it's right. I only see maybe a couple of clouds in the sky. Nice blue sky. The sun is warm. It may be around 61 degrees right now.
Very nice.
Not very breezy. So it's warm, but it's dry. It's perfect.
Perfect fall day. I am today in the high 70s, which is beautiful because I think my husband and I are going to take some time this afternoon to sit outside, perhaps have a beverage. We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's great.
It's one of those days where you just want to kick back. I have been frantic all week with work, which is good because we have some really cool things coming with Uncover DC that I can't talk about just yet, but are really going to be amazing. And that's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, it's just busy, busy, busy. But we have a very busy show today, Frank. I have spent probably a good portion of last night and today hopefully getting everything organized for a, you know, hassle-free presentation. But I think I want to start with two press conferences that Ron DeSantis has given, one 2 days ago and one yesterday. And I don't know if you have gotten to any of this on your show.
No. I mean, he's come up in conversation, but I definitely haven't listened to any media.
So I have some clips from this that I think everybody needs to hear because... Here's the thing. This is what it reminds me of. These press conferences remind me of a protest or rally that we're having around the state here in South Carolina while being met with scorn and disdain for the things that we're saying, even by fellow Republicans. Whereas if you travel south about 5 or 6 hours, the government itself, the elected leadership are saying the same things that we are, while simultaneously guaranteeing the freedoms of all of their citizens and in ways that are not authoritarian. So when first Ron DeSantis came out and said they're going to reconvene a special session to make sure that corporations can't mandate vaccines and all of the ideological purists out there, I saw started commenting and saying, oh, you know, that's not the place of government to interfere in private business and, you know, we can't be due. I'm like, you know what? That ship has sailed. It sailed a long time ago because we can't stick to that ideological purity test when we have an enemy that does not follow any rules, in my opinion. However, I was pleasantly surprised to see how he was doing it. Shifting liability, removing certain protections that were put in place for businesses. Basically calling out the fact that they went to bat for these businesses so that they'd be able to reopen without fear of lawsuits. And they're kind of coming back and stabbing them in the back now, trying to mandate their employees get vaccines, how they're going to deal with the federal government because of government contracts and government contractors, how they're going to deal with people being denied their religious exemption or whatever, and how they're going to deal with mandates in general, and then their Surgeon General, who, God, the man's amazing. If everybody could just be like this guy, we would be in so much better. And this is the thing. Here's the thing where I have such a catch-22. I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day, and he's like, I know you're not a big DeSantis fan, but we really need him to run for president. I said, I'm sorry? No. I'm a massive DeSantis fan. That's why I don't want him to run for president.
Exactly.
I said, who are we replacing him with in Florida? Who's going to keep the state's rights fight up?
The only thing left is defying every move that the federal government makes, not waste good people on a black hole like that. That'd be like taking Ron DeSantis and throwing him into a black hole.
Well, I mean, even if he has both houses, I think it's just not that I don't want him to be president. Of course I do. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that he is right now standing as a firm example and he's earnest about it. Like, you're going to hear this in the press conference. And if you've ever watched Ron DeSantis, you know he is speaking from the heart. This isn't a politician out there with platitudes trying to, you know, make his citizens complacent and to talk out of one side of his mouth and not act. He really means this stuff from the bottom of his heart. That's the kind of person you want running a state. He's an example for everyone else. Who the hell is going to do that in Florida? Name someone.
I don't know. Maybe Florida knows, but Ron, yeah, like you said, Ron DeSantis needs to be the president of Florida. And we need 49 other presidents of their respective states just like that.
Yep.
That don't treat the president of the general government as some kind of a father figure anymore, where they could keep running to daddy to see. I mean, this is, we're completely perverted as far as, you know, so that's just what it is.
So yeah, there are two press conferences. That the first one we're going to hear some clips from is about CRT, school mask mandates, the power that parents have over their children's education, and AG Garland sending the FBI in to monitor school board meetings, which to me in the United States of America means we have literally zero freedom left in this country whatsoever. It is really terrible. Like, I keep on having to remind myself, Frank, that I can speak and not self-censor because I live in America. Like, you're afraid to talk anymore with a microphone for fear of what the Stasi is going to come and do to you. Yep. I keep on having to say, Tracy, stop it. You live in America. Like, it's...
Oh, I hate it. I hate that. I hate coming face to face with that internal like governor system. And they're like, wait, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah.
Where the hell did this come from?
Yeah. All right. So we're going to start here. I'm going to put all these links in the description box. We're going to start this at 28 minutes where actually, hold on.
Is this in Polk County?
This is Titusville.
Okay.
Of Governor DeSantis taking a position on this and standing strong. I think I speak for everybody up here, and I know I speak for the majority of the sheriffs in this great state. We also thank Governor DeSantis for being a leader among other governors, for standing up for our freedoms, standing up for our constitutional rights. As he said, Floridians are not going to have their constitutional freedoms trampled on. What we're seeing happen on many levels, when you think of DOJ that is assigning the FBI to target parents as domestic terrorists, it's outrageous. That, trust me, there are plenty of terrorists globally that they can focus on. Real terrorists. Terrorists that are out there killing people each and every day. Not parents who are voicing their opinions and fighting with every breath they have for their children, which everybody in this room would do in a heartbeat. Our parents are people that are upset. They're emotional. They have the biggest concern of all. And that is raising the next generation of leaders. And so to those parents that are out there, I want you to know that for me, all the sheriffs are standing here, and I think I speak for all of us across this great state. We are your first line of defense. We're the last line of defense for you as well. We don't need DOJ to come down here and investigate a school board meeting that gets a little bit of rowdy. Our teams handle that each and every day. We deal with it in Brevard County. We serve as a model. This community serves as a model for other communities across the country to follow in how we deal with crisis, how we deal with emotion. But what we don't need is somebody coming in here starting to investigate our parents for voicing their opinions. To the mask mandate here in Brevard County, the illegal mask mandate that violates the governor's executive order. Let me just be very clear. I have made it clear to my school resource deputies, our head of security at the schools, that we are not the mask police. If your child is not wearing a mask, we are not going to engage in any action. We will not. My deputies do not have to wear masks on the school campuses. If they choose to, that is their freedom to do so. But parents, I want you to know, we stand strong in that this mask mandate is a violation of the governor's order, and we will not help enforce it in any way. So coach your children appropriately with that. And I've made the school board aware of that as well. The last thing I will say is this. Be careful who you put in these seats. Our children's education is one of the most important components we will ever have an opportunity to lead in. Be careful who you put in those seats. put someone in those seats that's going to stand up for the United States Constitution like our governor does each and every day. I truly ask you to make sure you're looking at who you're voting for. Governor, thank you, sir.
And just like that, school boards take front and center stage. We've been saying that for years.
Yes.
Seriously, how important are school boards?
They're everything. They're everything. And this is why I was saying before, last night we had a caller. I mean, this is a little off topic, but it's not. They called in about health, you know, healthcare issues, pretty much about what the protocols in hospitals were in Florida. They're in Florida. They had a couple of people that they know pretty much murdered via protocol. We've had this conversation many times. But the reason why I bring it up right now is because the conversation I had on my show last night with Rob was that here you have states like Florida, where even though you can see that the civic culture is very healthy and it's moving in the right direction, still inside of these relatively sane states are institutions.
Yep.
Healthcare, education, these institutions are still like these little pockets, these tumors that are pretty much autonomously run by a single mindset. And that is the next thing that just that nut needs to be cracked. The school boards and the culture inside of the schools, the hiring practices, they need to be cracked and changed. Because we see it's not only just in Florida that we see school boards and school administrators completely nuts inside of these red states. We see it in Kentucky. We see it in Tennessee, where you supposedly have these, you know, garnet red states that have outright communists.
South Carolina.
These nut jobs running schools in the middle of a garnet red state. This is the next step.
So he actually, and I tilted my microphone down so I don't have, because there's a bunch of clips and I don't want to have to hold things. He actually addresses the rogue bureaucracy that is just flouting his, you know, what is law. He addresses that in this press conference. Let me see.
Okay, we have
seen. Hey, what happened? It just stopped playing, Frank, because why would they allow me to do this when I've prepared so carefully? It's not playing. Hold on. Well, I don't know why that's happening. All right. Okay. So I've got more. That's fine. I've got plenty. There we go.
There we have. Good.
I'm very confident that they can handle a threat case against a public official, or for that matter, a threat against anyone. We hold all those at the same level. So I'm very confident. And I'm going to brag on our sheriff. His men and women that work with Sheriff Ivey, they do an incredible job investigating any case of any crime that occurs here in Brevard County. Same with FDLE, agent in charge Jason Kriegsman. They do an incredible job with those investigations. I don't need the federal authorities to come in and investigate those cases for me. I don't need federal prosecutors to handle them. We can do it. And in fact, you know, the positive part of having the sheriff or the FDLE investigate those cases, I have a strong relationship with those agencies. With one phone call, I can call Sheriff Ivey, I can call Agent Kriegsman, and I can get whatever I need accomplished. I don't have that same relationship with federal agencies, and so I worry about that. And so I'm very confident that we can handle these cases. It's almost like last year with the House Bill 1, anti-riot bill. Thank you for your leadership on that, Governor. There was a lot of hysteria about, oh my gosh, is law enforcement going to be able to distinguish between a peaceful protest and a riot? And of course we can. And I assure you, we will be able to distinguish between lawful, constitutionally protected speech and speech or acts that rise above that and go to the level of a criminal threat or disrupt a school function or meeting. We can do that, and we're prepared to do that, Governor. Thank you.
So that was one of the law enforcement agencies in Florida basically saying, I think we can handle it if parents, for some odd reason, go to the length of threatening someone or actually committing violence at a school board meeting.
Yeah.
We don't need the FBI to come in and handle that for us. We're perfectly capable of doing that on our own. Perfectly capable. Thank you so much.
I saw people, the board member that was going after, it was about the mask stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. I also saw these conversations, well, these comments about people that are actually trying to defend the safety level of safety. Well, oh, that's this board member that went after the parent. If that's violence, then I mean, what? They're just like walking toward. Well, if you're defending that, and in the same respect, you call January 6th a violent insurrection.
Right.
I mean, where are we supposed to go? Okay, so that's not violence. A guy from a school board who gets up out of his seat because his intelligence was questioned over these ridiculous anti-scientific mask mandates, and he's approaching a parent with the intent to start a fist fight. And then, of course, we have this entire Bay of Pigs, worse than 9/11 nonsense that's been thrown together with the January 6th. And it doesn't make any sense. So once again, I mean, that just goes to show you're not dealing with people that are on an even keel. Nothing's even about this. But yeah,
there were a lot of hearings yesterday, Frank. Did you know that? Like Merrick Garland went in front of the Senate Judiciary, I believe, or the House Judiciary Committee. And Jim Jordan went at him. We'll have a clip about that. You know, he was asked about whether or not Massey asked him whether or not there were FBI agents or undercover agents there on January 6th. And he completely skirted around the question. They played video clips. Jerry Nadler tried to make up rules from the floor to stop things from being played because God forbid the American people were to see this stuff. Well, guess what? They've already seen it. Like, they're doing everything they can to desperately cling on to this fake power they've given themselves. Like, nobody assigns that power to them but them.
Right.
And then their power over the media as an institution allows them to perpetrate this narrative that they're all powerful. But meanwhile, the everyday American citizen is finally standing up. And that's what Jim Jordan basically said in his little short blurb, which I'll play. It was, you know, listen, talk is talk. I get it. But it was really nice to hear someone say it in the halls of Congress. Here is more DeSantis here.
Number of protections for employees. First of all, if you think about it, if anyone has been forced to do an injection and has an adverse reaction, that business should be liable for that. Any damages, there's just, you have to do it because that's on them. It wasn't an individual choice. I also think this COVID liability protection that was given, the minute you go and start mandating that liability protection, is going to go by the wayside for each individual business that makes the decision to fire people or to do any of that. And I know some of them have already done it. So we're going to make sure that we beef that up. It's also the case some of these people have recently been fired, and then they're viewed as having been fired for cause, and then they're now ineligible for reemployment assistance. We're going to make sure that those are not for cause and make sure we provide people a lifeline. But at the end of the day, you know, you shouldn't be discriminated against based on your health decisions. And so we want to provide protection for people. We want to make it clear that in Florida, your right to earn a living is not contingent upon whatever choices you're making in terms of these injections. And I think that that's going to go a long way to let people know that we have your back. You know, some people say, well, why don't you just issue an edict? It's not the way a constitutional system works. You know, COVID, you had governors issuing a lot of unconstitutional edicts. We're not under a state of emergency in Florida. I don't have the authority to just dictate. That's why you need to have the legislature come in. You actually have to pass legislation. You can enshrine protections into law. We can make sure that we're looking out for folks. And here's the thing. There's on a principled basis, we have the responsibility to stand up for people's individual rights and individual freedom and make sure that in the state of Florida, people can make those decisions. I think it's very, very important. It's also important for us to take a stand. If we have unconstitutional mandates coming down from the federal government, we have a responsibility to fight back and defend the constitutional system, and we'll do it. But I also...
It goes on. I want to keep... Isn't that...
It's awesome.
I can't say strongly enough how freaking amazing this man is.
That's why anybody... See, and I can understand why people say he needs to be president, because there's people who live in states like mine who are so starved for anybody with
any liberty,
that is just liberty minded, that has good ideas and wants to stay out of people's ways instead of micromanaging people and all along the way calling you racist if you don't want to be micromanaged. So I understand why people gravitate toward DeSantis and say, oh my God, we need him for president. But he's got to stay where he is.
And I got to say, remember his election. It was not easy. He benefited greatly from a very last minute push by Donald Trump to help him in Florida. And thank goodness, because otherwise we would have had freaking Keith Ellison. Holy, can you imagine what a different world it would be today if there were not a Ron DeSantis leading the way for other chicken shit governors like mine, for example? I'm sorry, but Henry McMaster, he is like night and day sometimes. I don't get what he's doing. South Carolina, he's been so strong. He said he would fight the Biden administration to the gates of hell against the mandates. And everybody was like, hell yeah, you know, McMaster has our back. And then he came out and said, well, I'm not going to be able to stop private corporations from firing all of you. Well, Ron has figured it out.
Yep. Now, what do you want? How do you want to be remembered? That's the real thing. How do you want to be remembered?
He's running for re-election. He really, really pissed a lot of people off. And the guy who's running against him runs as a supposed moderate. His name is Joe Cunningham. He runs as a supposed moderate Democrat. There is no such thing as a moderate Democrat. And anybody who is a moderate Democrat is changing their party a la Joe Manchin. I'm just saying. So there, you know, whatever. We need somebody to lead the way, and he's doing a freaking fantastic job of it. Now, here's some more. Here we go. 17 minutes on this guy. Because there was, hold on, ignore that. Here we go. This is a nurse who was moved here from, I guess, D.C. And they're threatening to revoke her license because she won't quit. I mean, she won't get the vaccine.
Breastfeeding.
Hold on, Dracy.
Yeah.
Pause one second. Hold on. Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Here is a nurse who was worried about getting. She just moved to Florida, but they're threatening to take away her nursing license because she refuses vaccination. Here we go.
It's my license and work to revoke my license, which would mean that I stand very high risk of having my Florida license, which I just received, revoked. I recovered from COVID. I have natural immunity. I am pregnant. I have a daughter that I have been breastfeeding until recently, which maybe is TMI, but it is an important fact that there are special considerations that must be taken into account. And it seems that in this current climate, there's not any consideration given to people's medical exemptions, people's religious exemptions, people's overall perspective on some of these matters. And it's very concerning to me. The reason I'm really here is it's concerning to me that there are going to be so many patients who suffer as a result of this mandate. People need nurses. We are in a critical nursing shortage. And to take away, even if it's 5% of the workforce in a city like DC, where you are running on bare bones at all times, trying to get as many nurses as you possibly can to show up for work, to put a mandate like this in place and remove any percentage of nurses from the front lines is detrimental to patients' health. And as a nurse, I was recognized in every job I've ever held as an exemplary nurse, as a nurse who cares deeply for what happens to patients, what happens to the people of DC, what happens to the people of my new home in Florida. It is concerning to me that these mandates would put those people's lives in jeopardy. It was fine for nurses to put themselves in jeopardy when we didn't know anything about this virus. And now that we have clarity and we know that people with natural immunity have a very good chance of having maybe even better protection than people who are vaccinated.
Maybe. No. They do. They do, honey.
We're now not willing to provide them the opportunity to present that as proof that they are not a danger to their patients.
Now, I stopped this because DeSantis is about to come and say something that alludes very, very heavily to the point of vaccine injury in pregnant people, which lets me know that they know. And the Surgeon General who we're going to play, who speaks, is just the light of my life. I love him. We have to be careful with this natural immunity argument, because it's not about whether or not somebody with natural immunity should be allowed to work and not get the vaccine. It's about not forcing people to get a vaccine at all, regardless of their immunity to the virus.
Right. Right. No, it's the same. I completely agree. It's the same kind of trap of, for the first year into this, saying, well, it's not FDA approved. Well, one day it will be. And then what? You have to find a new argument. Get to the base of the argument. It's human liberty. It's freedom of choice. It's freedom of information. And of course, it's just common sense logic. If there is some kind of an inoculation, a shot out there that supposedly protects somebody from a disease that is ravaging the countryside, then the only person it's going to help is the person who receives it. So there's no reason to go on a world destruction tour, destroying the economy and everything else to target people who aren't taking the shot. It's something completely different.
Here is DeSantis.
Hate is not unusual in terms of, with a lot of the nurses, particularly the female nurses who are, you know, in childbearing years. Some of them are pregnant, but some of them may be wanting to. Many of them, like Kate, have had COVID and recovered. So how should they lose their job if they're just making a judgment whether that's something that they think they want to do? Because in spite of what some people tell you who say they know everything, the fact of the matter is, you know, we're going to find out more and more stuff as the years go on. And so to take that choice away from someone at the risk of their livelihood is just fundamentally wrong. And as Kate said, it is absolutely going to hurt patients, because we already are in need to have more people.
So he basically just said that there's vaccine injury in pregnant women that they really don't know about yet.
What do you think about that? You probably have seen at least a clip of Alex Berenson's appearance on Joe Rogan.
I've seen the whole thing.
Okay. So as far as the UK and Israel studies about, especially in, I think, last month, 70% of the deaths were fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
Shit, like that.
It's not surprising at all. Number one, because most of their population is vaccinated. Number two, we know that these vaccines are like, that's why this killer cold is going around in the UK. I'm telling you, I don't have any, we haven't had the study yet, but we've talked about this at length on this show. ADE, when a coronavirus of even any similar genetic structure is reintroduced into these mice when they were trying to come up with SARS and MERS vaccine, what happened to the mice? Most of them died upon reinfection, which is why they have never, ever developed a vaccine for a coronavirus, right? ADE, basically ADE. And we had this study cited in the very first article we wrote about COVID back in March of 2020. These people are they're seeing colds again. They're seeing coronaviruses again. And there's this weird killer cold going around that's not COVID, Frank. It's like it lasts for weeks and weeks and weeks. There's this nasty cough that comes with it. It's negative for SARS-CoV-2, but it's
Is that super cold you're talking about?
Yes. I'm nearly certain, and I'm sure that the data will eventually bear me out, that this is a vaccinated body's response to the reintroduction of a coronavirus to their system. Any coronavirus that shares a similar genetic structure in any way, even if just a segment or two, even if it's a shared protein, if it's a shared protein that correlates to the spike protein in any way at all. I'm telling you, listen, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll say it. I'm not saying, again, I'm just going to make very clear. Do I have data to back this up? No, not in my hands. But this is something that's being talked about right now. And all those numbers are true, Frank. All of those people. And again, they have a very large percentage of their population vaccinated, right? So,
right.
It is what it is. Here is another clip here. Hold on. It's hard on YouTube. Sometimes they don't listen.
A lot of parents want to be in the driver's seat, even if they want certain things, they still want to be the ones to make the decision. So that is protected. They're not going to be able to get away with that here in Florida. They're not going to be able to take that right away from parents. Now I want to bring up the Surgeon General, Dr. Joe Latipo.
All right. Hey, good morning. I'm competing with a jet engine back there. It's just an unbelievable time in the country. It's almost like you wake up each day and you wonder what new unprecedented policy step some leader in, unfortunately, California, a state that, you know, that I lived in and really enjoyed, a beautiful state, or even at the executive level with the president is coming out with. And we don't know what's coming next. And what we're talking about here today is really an example of just extreme policies that we've seen during this pandemic, and policies that are implemented without thinking about whether they make sense or thinking about, you know, their risks and benefits and what the implications of those policies are. And this is just another example of really terrible policy. I mean, you hear these stories, people telling you what's been happening in their lives, nurses, pregnant women who are being forced to, you know, to sort of put something in their bodies that we don't know all there is to know about yet, no matter what people on TV tell you. It's not true. We're going to learn more about the safety of these vaccines, right? You remember when people were telling you that, you know, that these vaccines would stop transmission and the rates of protection were greater than 90%. Well, you know, guess what? Here we are about 10 months afterward, and we're finding that the data are showing that some of these vaccines, the protection from infection is less than 40%, and even less than that for some of them. So this idea that we are foolish for not believing people who are telling us things that we don't have data for right now is ridiculous. And people need to continue and stick with their intuition and their sensibilities. So talking about science, right? So what is the science? What's the data behind these vaccine mandates? Well, the vaccine mandates, as we now know, these vaccines are not preventing transmission. So sure, they reduce the likelihood of transmission, and even that is sort of questionable depending on how far out you go, but they're not preventing it. So this idea that, you know, I've heard some leaders say things like, you know, we'll create safe workplaces by mandating these vaccines, well, they're really decoupled, because the infections can still happen whether people are vaccinated or not. I mean, that's very obvious, you know. And you remember, these people were also telling you that all these breakthrough infections that people on, you know, sports stars and celebrities and your neighbor.
Oh, of course. I got a phone call.
And maybe you were having, after you were vaccinated, were rare. Well, they're obviously not rare. In fact, they're common. And so that's the truth. So this idea that the vaccine mandates are needed to create safe workplaces is a complete lie. It's continued to be repeated. And you should know that it's not at all backed up by science. In fact, the science says something that's completely the opposite. So, and that's a fact. So then what about the data? What about the science around these, about unemployment, besides the horror, you know, just the repugnancy of firing people who've been showing up to work this, you know, this whole time during the pandemic to help their neighbors and people in their communities. And now you're firing them. So just putting aside how completely absurd that is. Well, so what do we know about the science of doing that to someone? Well, we know it's bad for health. So when you take away people's jobs, like some of these brave people who've decided to stand with their beliefs and commitments and take the risk, when you take away these people's jobs, it's bad for health. It increases mental distress. It's bad for physical health. People often lose health insurance, so it disrupts their care. I mean, it's bad for health on every level for these people. So that matters. And that's another reason why the governor and I will never support those types of policies.
Yeah.
And,
one more.
Let's talk about one other thing, right? Which is, well, why are some people not comfortable with these vaccines? Well, part of the reason that some people are not comfortable with these vaccines is because the climate of dishonesty, scientific dishonesty about the science, right? Whether it's natural immunity, denial of that in the face of data, or in the case of the vaccines, open, honest discussions about both effectiveness and safety. So there's been dishonesty around that. And the reality of how safe these vaccines are is absolutely not public. It's not public because when people, and I know this for a fact because patients of mine, colleagues of mine, strangers around the country who've contacted me about their experiences, and healthy people who've had adverse reactions after the vaccines, there's been a concerted effort to prevent these types of stories, these experiences, from receiving the attention that they obviously should receive. And that's the real thing, and instead what we see is basically shaming and smearing, people using the label anti-vax. And these are the same people who went and got the vaccine.
So it goes on for like another minute. He basically closes by saying, we're not going to allow them to stifle science, stifle, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's no, what the Surgeon General of the United States should be saying today.
Yeah, very low. They're lucky to have these people down there. They really are.
And now, I was saying this and it's going to sound a little bitter, but it's okay. We've been talking about this for what, 19, 20 months now? We've been talking about vaccine, the dangers of the potential vaccines before they were developed, when they were developed, the early reporting about them, how people should be very careful, informed consent. Remember, we had Joel, the pharmacist, who was fired for refusing to vaccinate a child without, you know what I mean?
Yep.
We've been talking about this. Now, all of a sudden, thank God, it has become mainstream to talk about these things. It's not controversial anymore. So you're seeing a lot of these bigger talking heads in talk radio and other places coming out and saying, oh, the vaccine mandates are blah, blah, blah. Where were you? We just should be very proud of ourselves, not me and you, but us in general as a people, that we have pushed this issue to the point where they can't claim it's controversial anymore. Because without us doing this for this many months, there would be people being held down in their houses right now with needles in their arms. I can almost guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I, and if it weren't for any kind of legal and cultural roadblocks, that'd be happening. Because in other parts of the world, it's been rationalized already.
Yeah. So that moves me. I wasn't going to play this today, but I changed my mind because we're writing a story on it right now. But this was a video that happened. This woman, it was in the Dark to Light podcast room. It was a video of a woman who brought her son to a ReadyMed clinic in Indiana, I believe. And her son was diagnosed with bronchitis, an ear infection, and a sinus infection. Bacterial infections, right? The nurse practitioner was going to prescribe him medication for those infections. When the nurse practitioner went back, I guess, to speak with the doctor on call about it, the doctor said, no, they need to get a COVID test first. And the mom did not want the COVID test for her son. She said, no, I don't need a COVID test. You've already diagnosed him with a sinus infection, bronchitis, and an ear infection. The doctor basically refused to treat the son at that point, wouldn't treat him. So the mother started filming smartly. Her name is Liz, and she commented underneath this post in my Telegram room with a lot more bits of the story. This is completely abhorrent. I'm hoping that you can hear what happens in this video. It's only a minute or so long. The nurse woman or whoever she is literally tries to grab her phone out of her hands, tells the mom, Liz, she can confiscate her phone if she wants to. Listen, a minute and 11.
The COVID vaccine.
No, you need to come talk to me.
It's fine.
Honey.
Okay, she's not
going to
be.
She just walked away from me.
The doctor?
Yeah.
After
they just diagnosed my son with an infection, they're refusing to give him medication.
That's not policy, she says.
No, I'm sorry, but I am the doctor. This is our policy. And if you're listed part-time, she is not a parent, so she needs to leave.
Is she not a doctor?
She's a nurse practitioner. You can leave now without your phone.
Excuse me.
That is part. I can confiscate it. Should I call 911?
You don't need to grab my stuff.
Then please walk out. Kathy, can you please call security?
So what you're telling me is my son has an infection.
Can you please call 911?
And you're unwilling to treat him?
What we've asked for. And now she's videotaping everything and basically is going to slander my name.
Oh, I will. I will give this to whoever needs
it. And she did give it to whoever needs it, Frank. She gave it to everybody. And guess what happened? ReadyMed Corporate called her, asking her and begging her to take the video down, saying that this was a rogue doctor who did not follow. There is no policy on demanding a COVID test before they'll dispense medication for any infection.
It's insane. And this is insane.
This is against. And, you know, somebody said, like, they asked her if she'd add a disclaimer to the description saying this video does not necessarily reflect the opinions or policy of all ReadyMed clinics. I guess they just wanted to try and like protect themselves from this rogue, crazy lunatic. She did that. But somebody rightly pointed out that every single nurse and doctor in that facility at that point should have been standing up for this patient's rights.
Right.
And when they didn't, they were too guilty. This kid is sick. You've diagnosed him already. You now won't treat him for his illness because she doesn't want to conform to some. You have the right to refuse a test whenever you want. If you went into the hospital with chest pains and they wanted to give you an EKG, but you said no, guess what? You don't have to get the EKG.
Hey, I just refused an X-ray at the dentist the other day.
Did you?
No, I know it's not the same thing at all. But I just said, no, I don't want this. And they're like, we need to see what's going on. If you have any bone loss, you just say no. Just say no. It just doesn't matter.
No, I mean, it's your choice. If you have bone loss and it leads to something worse, that's the choice you made.
Yeah, right. But what you're describing right now, of course, is a lot more serious than the dentist. But yeah, you just say no. But as you can see, regardless, you have these people who have, they've given themselves some kind of authority. They've crowned themselves in many ways. They not only just to say, to make up rules and protocol that obviously the greater parent group, the medical group, doesn't even share or dictate to those who are working for them. But she even gave herself the authority to confiscate personal property.
I know.
I'm going to confiscate you.
I can confiscate it. No, you can't, bitch.
This is exactly. But that's what I'm talking about. This is the real problem. Like a couple years ago, when we were talking about issues that I wish we were still talking about, like FISA, we were saying. A couple of times we concluded that the real problem is, or at least I concluded, is that the real problem is the deep state is us. You know, there's no way. It's not just about rooting out 20 to 40,000, globalist infiltrators and anti-American demolitionists that are inside of these federal agencies and NGOs and think tanks and all that stuff. Maybe a lot more than 40,000, perhaps. But the real problem is that there is a culture that has been conditioned to not only accept their way of seeing the world, this anti-American way, anti-liberal, real, truly illiberal way of seeing the world, but they've actually been conditioned to take that worldview and internalize it and customize it in their own way. How can I go and wield my own little bit of power to contribute to the overall? This person sees this anti-vax and anti-science in their eyes battle playing out on the media. And she sees an opportunity for this to be her battlefront. And she, all that internalized rage that comes from the Don Lemons and the Brian Stelters of the world is being manifest right here in this woman's dealing with a parent that she sees as the enemy. It's scary shit.
It's terrifying.
It's like, that's and why you I'm gotta, saying.
And you know, as soon as she realized she was filming, she ripped her name badge off because she knows. You don't do that unless you're guilty.
Was she fired?
I don't know. I know Michelle is working on this. So Michelle's been in contact with her. I mean, this woman literally has a legal case. She has a legal case. Easy. And I found another article here about how companies are absolutely going to be liable for vaccine injury because of what the Federal Employees Compensation Act has done with their guidelines. So I have this column on Market Ticker that I'll put in the description or the show notes because it's just too long to read through now because I want to get quickly to a couple clips from the hearings yesterday that I have to play. And one funny one that we'll end with. I actually only saved the... Oh yeah, here we go. All right. So we have Jim Jordan, Frank. We have Jim Jordan. Here it is.
Jefferson said once, tyranny is when the people fear the government. We're there. Sadly, we are there. But I don't think the good people of this great country are going to cower and hide. I think your memo, Mr. Attorney General, was the last straw. I think it was the catalyst for a great awakening that is just getting started. Pilots at Southwest Airlines, the Chicago Police Union, parents at school board meetings, Americans are pushing back. Because Americans value freedom. A few weeks ago, Terry McAuliffe said this. I don't think parents should be telling schools what to teach. When government tells parents we're smarter than you, Americans aren't going to tolerate it. When the Attorney General of the United States sets up a snitch line on parents, Americans aren't going to tolerate it. I think they're going to stand up to this accelerated march to communism that we now see. America's going to fight the good fight. They're going to finish the course. They're going to keep the faith because Americans value freedom.
Now, we are seeing that happen, or else there would be no reason for these idiots to threaten us. If we were in, you know, I say this all the time, like here, just as a microcosm, Frank, they say how irrelevant we are, those of us who have stepped up to get involved in local party politics, and you're so irrelevant, they're irrelevant. But yet all they do is spend all of their time talking about us. How irrelevant could we really be? Right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, their entire existence is circling around trying to hurt us, do something nasty to us, get us to look stupid somehow, stop our plans, make them fail. Like, if we were irrelevant, they wouldn't give a crap. They'd just go about their business, and we would be nothing but a blip in the radar. So, the reaction to what's happening across the country, he's absolutely right about it. But we needed you, Jim, I love you. I don't know what you could have possibly done. I guess this is kind of unfair, but we needed you months ago. Like, it's easy for people to speak out now.
Yeah, it is. It is. No, I get I don't know, but it's not any less necessary, I guess.
No. I mean, yeah, we need him. We need all of them. Even Massey, who I've had great qualms with, I have him at 2 minutes and 30 seconds in this clip here. Thanks to Citizen Free Press, by the way, because they've done a great job. Shut up, doggies. Here we go.
I said at the outset, one of the norms of the Justice Department is to not comment on impending investigations, and particularly not to comment about particular scenes or particular individuals.
I was hoping today to give you an opportunity to put to rest the concerns that people have that there were federal agents or assets of the federal government present on January 5th and January 6th. Can you tell us, without talking about particular incidents or particular videos, how many agents or assets of the federal government were present on January 6th, whether they agitated to go into the Capitol, and if any of them did?
So I'm not going to violate this norm of the rule.
He's not going to violate norms. Like, yeah. He has anything he can stand on it when it comes to norm. You just declared parents domestic terrorists for going to school board meetings, you stupid.
I know.
What norms are you adhering to?
I know. There are no norms except theirs.
Yeah, and then there was Jim Jordan basically fighting with another representative saying the same thing. Like, you guys are allowed to, you know, nobody condemns the violent rioting over the summer, and then, you know, blah, 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 just the back and forth, the double-edged sword. Like, it's just so, and you know what? Again, the majority of the American people see right through this crap. They see right through it. They do. More and more and more of them do. Want to finish with something that is terrifyingly scary around Halloween?
Sure. Let's get even more scared.
Here is one of the activists at the Dave Chappelle walkout at Netflix.
Okay.
Sure. So first, can I get your name on tape?
Yeah, my name is David Huggard. I'm a non-binary individual. I also go by the persona of Eureka O'Hara, which has been debuted on RuPaul's Drag Race, season 9, 10, All Star 6, and HBO's Right Here.
They're all so self-obsessed, aren't they?
Right. I mean, he has to make sure that he tells everybody what TV shows he's been on. He does it every time he starts talking.
And even if he didn't have a TV show, it would be my Twitter is this, my alter ego is this, I come from planet so-and-so, make sure to buy my book, it's forthcoming, I've been writing it in crayon the last 6 months.
Like, even when he goes up on stage to talk about his white privilege, he says that he's been on television and blah, 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 blah. It's really a mental deficit, I think. Like, he probably feels like the only value that he has is how many people have seen him on the television. Like, it's very sad to me that there's no sense of self-worth whatsoever.
None,
at all.
None whatsoever. Because what really differentiates you? Is it your style of makeup? Is it the wigs that you choose whenever you, I mean, and what about all those, and then think about those who never had a TV gig and are just desperate for attention and they can't get anything. So this is probably, I don't know.
Or what about the person that you and your community mercilessly attacked for having a different perspective that ended up killing themselves? What about that person? Because that's what this was all about in the long run. Mm. And I think that, you know, while, again, I feel like maybe the more I think about this portion of his special, the more I'm changing my mind about pandering and thinking maybe he was really just trying to make a point about the hypocrisy of it all. The whole point of it was to point out their hypocrisy here.
First name again, can you spell it? David, D-A-V-I-D-H-U-G-G-A-R-D. And then Eureka, E-U-R-E-K-A-O-H-A-R-A.
I mean, got it. Like, why is it so important to be out here today?
Yeah, no, it's important to be out here today because we have to stand in solidarity with each other. Obviously, Ashley Marie Preston is a great advocate and a huge sister of mine, also a trans woman. As a non-binary person, we as trans people and non-binary people aren't getting visibility or respect in the entertainment industry to begin with. And to
What?
Not getting not visible or respected. Well, I mean,
he just named shows he's been on as though they were trophies.
Yeah, but you don't understand. Every trans person should be on television.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not enough that he's gotten some airtime. Of course, he wants more.
They have gotten some airtime.
Screw that. Again, it's enough. That we are so far. Beyond the acceptable bounds of courtesy. So far, there was a time where I would, if you're a friend of mine and you are transgender, cross-dressing, or whatever the hell's going on in your life, and I saw you at a Christmas party, I may indulge you and say, oh, she looks so beautiful tonight, doesn't she? You know, and just have a good time and to try to be nice with people. No more. I'll call you by your name, whatever name you change. If you're an adult, you change your name, fine. You call your, if you go from Chad to Clarissa, I'll call you Clarissa. You're an adult who changed their name, but I'm not getting into this shit anymore. And because this has become so militant, there's absolutely no respect that I'm actually reserving for people just because they have these problems in their lives.
Yeah, agreed. There's just a little more and we'll end here.
something like Dave Chappelle's special not be noted that it's promoting discrimination and hate conversation is very hurtful to the activism and the cause that we're trying to progress ourselves in the industry.
In the industry.
What industry is that?
I don't know. I mean,
what industry is that? It, of course, comes down to entertainment because they all see themselves as circus sideshows in one way or another.
It's true.
It is 100% true because it's all superficial, surface level peacocking about. It's whoever has the biggest hair and the most unique way to describe themselves and whatever kind of a story to go along with their appearance. It is all superficial. And they know that the more outrageous, the more noticeable they are. And I guess that's the biggest impact that they could make because there's nothing. Have they invented?
Who is going to bother somebody? Who is going to bother somebody that decides to walk? I mean, really, honestly,
nobody. Now, if you go, I think people would have a little bit less patience with someone like this who walks into a business and makes a stink, because obviously, trans people are a fraction of 1% of the country. And that fraction has grown a little bit just because of the nurturing that we're doing with people, the nurturing of this insanity. It's growing because it's becoming a trend and a fad with young and old impressionable minds.
We have a Levine here, Frank.
Oh yeah, I know.
Here.
I mean,
I have her or him or whatever. Listen to this.
The opportunity to serve as the head of the United States Public Health Service Commissioned Corps as a four-star officer is an extraordinary honor and a profound responsibility.
This is comical. It's comical. And then I'm truly honored to join the ranks of the men and women. Oh, well, it's okay to say that now. Well, we're confused.
Because Rachel over here considers himself to be a part of that women corps. That's it.
I don't know. Anyway, it's not non-binary,
but it's very binary.
It is.
It's non-binary, but they are one thing or the other.
Okay.
So if this is hate conversation, then so be it. There are plenty of obnoxious. Whenever we talk about race, I say, well, listen, it's a white majority country. You know what that means? Most of the people I can't stand in my life are white.
Yeah.
Most of the people I can't stand are white. I think that there are. I mean, so you want to talk about trans assholes, white assholes, black assholes?
They're everywhere, Frank. There's assholes everywhere.
They're everywhere. But I mean, I guess you can only call out assholes of your same skin color because everything else is racist.
Oh.
You know, or phobic in some way. You walk into somebody's place of business and you act like a demandy, hard-nosed asshole, you're going to have a problem with the business owner.
It's ma'am.
You walk into a business as a man dressed like a poorly as a woman in a woman costume and act like that same asshole, they might have a little bit less of a tolerance level because there's obviously something else going on there. And they don't just want the circus in town either. So, I mean, there's so much here, so much responsibility that's of course is being skirted and so much reality that's being ignored because we are in the terminal phases of this cultural collapse.
Yeah.
Terminal phases.
Terminal is right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well. There's. I'm just. That's it. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday, Frank.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.